You are listening to the Living Hope International Ministries Weekly Bible Teaching Podcast. For more information, visit us online at lhim.org.
Starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to start in verse 13. It says, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we're of sound mind, it's for you." I don't know, it says if we're crazy, if we're beside ourselves, you know what? God worked it, yeah. What am I going to do? I got to think of Paul. Paul's with Festus and Agrippa, right? And he's witnessing, sharing the word. And then Festus says, "Paul, you're mad. You're crazy. What happened?" Paul's like, I'm not crazy. Something worked in my heart. God showed me his word, and this is what it's about. And then he says, verse 14, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." The love of Christ controls us. It compels us. Okay, now, most people, let's see how many here, and you can show me by hands. How many of you would love to reach one person with a gospel message? How many of you would like to reach one person, that person would receive the message and believe? Raise your hand. How many of you would like to do that? Wow. Wow. Where'd that come from? Remember the theme verse? That he would put the Spirit upon us, that we may observe his commandments, that we would do his will. That Spirit is in you. Before you received Christ, did you have any desire to do that?
No.
So where's that come from? The Spirit. The reason you and I want to do that is because he's in us. We saw it's the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus Christ is in you. And he is saying, "Won't you live for me? Oh, please, won't you live for me?" And we're saying, "Oh, God, I want to live for you. I want." That's the love of Christ in you. Right now, his Spirit is in you. That desire to live for him is spiritual. It's spiritual. In your heart, with that desire to live for him. Therefore, verse 16, "From now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, now we know him this way no more. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature." He's a new creature. Remember what Bill shared yesterday? That Spirit of Christ changes you. It changes you. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Now all things are from who? God. This is God's gig. This is God's plan. This is his great plan of redemption. Remember, this is his plan of the history of the ages. This is what he always wanted. And you're part of it. That desire in you to reach one person for his kingdom is part of his plan in you. "Who reconciled all things to himself through Christ and gave us," we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's why that desire is there. This has been given to you in that new creation, in that Spirit. namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. He has given us the word of reconciliation. And I'd like to spend the time this morning looking at the word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. This word of reconciliation is not your word. It's not your word that you make up. It's his word. It's his word of reconciliation. It's not your personality. It's not your great ability to have persuasive speech, that you somehow, with your ability, are going to talk somebody into believing. That ain't it. It's not your ability. It's not your natural God-given ability. It's his word. His word. It's his word. His word has the power to reconcile. The word of God itself. Remember how the word came? 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Knowing this first, no prophecy of Scripture came by anyone's own interpretation, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by what? The Holy Spirit. This, ladies and gentlemen, is spiritual. This is Holy Spirit. This came by the Holy Spirit. This is God speaking to you. The Scripture itself is spiritual. It's Holy Spirit. You hold in your hands God's word to you. It's spiritual. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. It says, we are not like many peddling the word of God. Or I think some translations say corrupting. But as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ, in the sight of God. This word, I see why they say peddling, corrupting. It could also, I think, the word deluding. Because what would happen in the marketplace, the corrupt people, like say I was selling wine, I would put a little water in it. So I'd get a little bit more, I'd corrupt it. I'd dilute it a little bit, make a little more money off. We don't dilute the Scripture. I don't water it down. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody, so I'm just going to, I don't really want to tell them about Jesus. I'll tell them a story. I'll make some cookies and I'll invite them in, and we'll have a plan. Because we don't want to be too offensive. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, we have this ministry. We have a ministry given to us by Jesus Christ to reconcile. We do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, or again, not adulterating the word of God, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Wow. See what that says? If our gospel is veiled, it's not veiled to you. If you're here, you probably know the gospel, or at least you know something of it. It's veiled to the people out there. Out there in the world. You know, people think they know Jesus, but they really don't know Jesus. People have heard about the Bible, but they really don't know. And if it's hidden, it's hidden to the people that are dying out there. And there's only one way they're going to hear. And that's you and me. We have the light of the gospel message. And the God of this age has blinded them. And I would say that the God of this age doesn't want you to speak. Because if we don't speak, remember what it says in Romans 10? How can they hear? Unless there's a preacher. How are they going to hear to believe? They can't, if they don't have the message, they cannot believe. And how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless there is someone who will preach? It seems so simple. And yet the Satan tries to just make it so complicated and so darn hard. We got all these reasons why the scripture, why we don't see great movement. We got all these reasons why. Stop it. Preach. The scripture is the power of salvation, it says in Romans 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation. The gospel. It's what saves people. It is the power of God. I love what John shared earlier. When he, the sword of the Spirit that quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. This is where power comes. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 17 says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to what? Preach the gospel. I was sent to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech. There's a lot of times he says this. It wasn't with cleverness of speech. And I think it's in Philippians or Colossians where he says, I didn't use a cloak of covetousness. I didn't cloak it. I didn't cloak my desire that there was a covetous attitude. It wasn't cleverness of speech. It wasn't Paul's great ability to debate and to persuasive speech. It was through preaching. He simply preached the message. Wow. Look what goes on. Verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. That was like that, like Festus. Paul, you're mad. It's foolishness to people who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is what? The power of God. To the people that don't want to believe, yeah, it's foolishness. But when that one who's God, like Lydia, right? Lydia, her house, it says the Lord opened her heart. Paul went all the way across Asia, all the way to Troas, went in there. And one woman, all that time, all that distance, he opened the heart of one lady, And it started things off. He opened her heart. It's not your job to open the heart. It's not your job to try and use techniques to get someone to believe. We have one thing to do. Preach. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. What they don't want to hear, preach the gospel. You move to somewhere else, preach the gospel. And then you get that one who God is working in their heart. And when you get going so much, that God will tell you, like Paul, don't go to Asia, don't go this way. I got someone over there. If that's your desire, if that's your willingness, as you move, God will work with you to help you reach that lost soul. And then it says in verse 20, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not come to know God, all the brains and the scientists, they're not the way people know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of preaching, it says in the King James, or the message preached to save those that believe. God said, I'm going to make it simple. You preach, and those people whose hearts I'm working on, they'll believe. It's foolish. If I was Victor Gluckman, who's not here, so I can say this. If I was Victor Gluckman, I'd say, that's crazy. That's crazy. What? I open my mouth. I preach gospel. Person gets saved and can enter eternal life. What? No way. Yes, way. There's nothing more. It was a really hard time for me to teach it because I was really looking for something deep, something heavy, something. That's it. Speak. Speak. God opens hearts. God reconciles. You and I speak. I've learned this weekend that the Spirit empowers us. That the Spirit guides us. That the Spirit clothes us. The Spirit enables us. The Spirit is supernatural power. The Spirit enables us to love like Christ. The Spirit is shed forth in our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit allows us to dwell in God's presence. The Spirit sets us apart. The Spirit of God transforms us. It changes us. The Spirit helps us to be holy, to be sanctified. The Spirit produces in our lives freedom and liberty. The Spirit strengthens the inner man. I'd like to share one more great work of the Spirit with you. And that is that the Spirit reveals this to your mind. This came by way of Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians, you read on later in chapter 2, I think someone actually covered this, it says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The Spirit of God teaches us spiritual knowledge. It's unlike natural knowledge. You know, natural knowledge, man, you know, I work with computers. I hate Microsoft sometimes. They're always changing. You know, they got one way to do something, and I gotta drive my mind, and for me, I can't do it once. I gotta do it over and over and over again. And after about 6 months, I finally got figured out how to do it. And then they change. And then I got to use my mind and I got to think and I got that, you know, It's like, I think they call it cognitive reasoning. That's how we understand natural knowledge. We study, we repeat the study, and then eventually the whatever those things in the brain, now some people's brains work a lot better than mine, and they get it the first time around. But me, a lot of times you do it over and over, and then finally, oh, okay, I understand, and that's how we understand natural knowledge. That is not how you understand spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is revealed. And only one, God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, reveals knowledge. It's the only way you get it. That is how this knowledge comes. And it's a lot easier than learning natural knowledge. Thank God. God reveals it to you. Let me show you this. Luke. Remember John 14:26? I believe John McCabe read this the other day. It says, "But the Helper, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, the Spirit," as John Truett, John number 2, shared this morning, that is Jesus, right? The Spirit, he said in John 14:26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said." The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, replaces Christ, so to speak, right? I love the radio analogy, right? It's Jesus speaking to us by way of the Spirit. And it teaches our minds truth. That's how you get spiritual knowledge. That's how you walk and how you will understand. Look at Luke chapter 18. I just got to show you this because I saw this while John McCabe was sharing a record earlier, and I was like, oh my gosh, look at that. Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. This is before Jesus Christ died. This is before he was raised from the dead, right? Before he had accomplished these things. He's talking to his 12 disciples. Verse 31. "And he took the 12 aside and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. And all things which are written through the prophets, the scripture that came by the way of the Holy Spirit,'" this, he shared with them this, right? "All things that are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles." The scriptures talk about this. "And will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon." The scriptures talk about this. "And after they scourge, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." Got it? Next verse. "But the disciples understood what? None of these things. And the meaning of this statement was hidden from them. And they did not comprehend the things that were said." Why? Because the Spirit didn't give it to them. Jesus didn't reveal it to them. God didn't reveal it to them. And you can be a natural man, and you can read, and you can learn and memorize every verse of the Bible. But if you don't have God's Spirit teach you, you don't understand. Because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. But God reveals them to us at his choosing, at his will. And here he tells them exactly what's going to happen, and they didn't comprehend. Right? Now, 6 chapters later, Luke. This is what John read the other night, and I was like, oh my gosh, look at that. Luke chapter 24. Now Jesus is with him again, right? He's in his resurrected body. Luke 24:44. "And he said to them," now he's telling them again, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. In chapter 18, all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures, must be fulfilled. Verse 45, then he what? Opened their minds to what? To understand. What's the difference? They had Jesus. Tell them. Right? They had the Spirit. Well, there was Jesus. Now Jesus has left. And now he has given us the Spirit. They had the Spirit to teach them. Now they understood. It was revealed. The whole Bible's like this. God, one of the great works of the Spirit is to reveal this to your mind. One of the great things that you will do in life is you'll pray and asking God, as we've been praying, and God will reveal Scripture to your mind. That's His Spirit. That's His Spirit. That's an experience with God. That is God talking to you, presenting you Scripture. Without God's Spirit, you cannot know the things of God. They needed Jesus to bring them understanding. Now the Holy Spirit takes the place of Jesus and teaches us the Scripture. As you go forth seeking to join God in His work, as the Holy Spirit leads you, the Scriptures will be made known to you. The Scriptures. Oh, I got to show you this. Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11. This, Sean mentioned this, and then I looked at it. I was like, oh, this is Deuteronomy 11. Look at Elijah. Remember Elijah? He just comes on the scene. We don't know anything about him. God doesn't tell us anything about this man. He just comes on the scene. He goes to the king and he says to him, as Yahweh, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, surely there shall neither be dew nor rain these years except my word. And then he goes away. I don't know how long that sentence is, how many words are in that sentence. But that's all Elijah did. It's not like Elijah did some really big thing. Really? Right? Really, what did he do? He walked, he went to the king, and he opened his mouth. He didn't wave a wand. He didn't go, ooh. He just opened his mouth. And he spoke these words that God told him. And as Sean said, that's pretty wild to be able to say, it's not going to rain. Where did he get the audacity and the boldness to be able to say something like that? You're going to ask myself, can you back that with Scripture? Deuteronomy 11. Remember what Sean said about this time? He said, at this time in Israel, the nation of Israel, the king Ahab had married Jezebel, and the whole nation was filled with idolatry. Right? The nation was basically, it was becoming national religion was Baal worship, and the Asherah. And actually, worship of Yahweh, they were seeking to hunt down the prophets of God and kill them. This is what was happening in the nation of Israel. Look what God said over 500 years before Deuteronomy 11. Verse 16, beware, this is what Moses wrote in the Torah, beware that your hearts are not deceived and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them, or the anger of Yahweh will be kindled against you and he will what? Shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain. Now, I don't know. It doesn't tell us. Did Elijah, did this verse come to his mind? I don't know. But let me ask you this. Was what Elijah doing contrary to Scripture? No. In fact, it's exactly what God said should happen. It's exactly what God said would happen. Elijah's just carrying out what God has already authored. I just blew my mind. I was like, whoa, look at that. That's crazy, right? 500 or more years later, the prophet Elijah carries out God's curse. That's just awesome stuff. Check this one out, Acts 13. Acts 13. This is Paul. Here in Paul is going around, and he goes to Antioch, in the region of Galatia. I think it's Pisidian Antioch. And he starts preaching. And you read this preaching of Paul, it's all Scripture. He's done Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Psalms. I mean, he is preaching in the synagogue. The Scripture, the message, and that Jesus is the Messiah that fulfills this agreement to the Jewish people. I love Bill's, just a sideline, but I love that Bill prayed for Jews. Maybe this is the time for the Jews. You ever think about that? Maybe this is the time where we can reach out to the children of Abraham and reach out and take them along and show them that Jesus is their Messiah. Why not? Why not? Seems like nobody else wants to believe. Sometimes, right? So reach out. Reach out. So here he is. He's in there and he's preaching. And man, he lights the place up. The whole city he lights up. Acts 13, verse 44. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city is assembled to hear the word of the Lord. They all come. The whole city comes to hear Paul. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with what? Jealousy. I believe Bill shared that's one of those works of the flesh. It never works good when the works of the flesh are fighting against the Spirit. And this spirit of jealousy is in there. And began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves worthy of eternal life, behold, look what Paul says, we're turning to the Gentiles. Now look what this next verse says. For so the Lord has commanded us. What? Paul's pulling out Isaiah here. What happened? The Spirit revealed to Paul the Scripture. For the Lord commanded us. He commanded us, saying, from Isaiah 49:6, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. You see, the Spirit revealed to Paul Scripture. And Paul said, wow, God's commanded me to preach to the Gentiles. That's how it works. You could be speaking and all of a sudden this verse comes to your mind. It's like, whoa, the Holy Spirit has spoken. The Scriptures. It's the power of God. This isn't just some old fogey book. You know, oh, millennials, they'll never be able to accept, you know, this. What? You know what? The baby boomers and the millennials and whatever age we want to put categories of people in, if the Spirit is working and if the gospel is preached, you can reach anybody, any race, any gender, any ethnicity, any age group. Because it's the Scripture. It's the power of God is in the Scripture. It's awesome. And then the Gentiles were rejoicing. And in verse 49, and the word of the Lord was being spread, and the Jews incited devout women and prominent and leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium, and the disciples were continuing filled with the Holy Spirit. They shook off the dust. It's my understanding, you move on, right? You shake the dust off your feet, no animosity. You're not getting arguments. I'm not. Just moving on. You don't want to hear, I love you, but I'm moving on. I got to move on. Because there's people perishing out in the world. I don't have time to get in an argument with you. I don't have time to sit here and get in big debates and dissertations and get into these discussions that are endless and just, we fight and I don't, go ahead, you want to fight, fight. I want to go reach the dying people. I want to reach the people who are perishing, who the God of this world's blinded their eyes. I want to reach them. If you want to fight, go ahead and fight. You can keep the church. I don't care. I want to go reach people. That's the way we are. That's the way we want to be. Acts chapter 4. Look at this. Acts 4. Acts 4, they heal this lame guy, and then Peter again preaches the scripture. You watch, you read what Peter preached, he pulls in the words of the prophets. He pulls in the truth about the kingdom message. That's what he preaches to them, and that Jesus is that Messiah who the prophets preached about. He shares them this, then they get in trouble. And they're brought before the council. These are the same people who had Jesus Christ crucified. And then it says in verse 18, and when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to what? Speak. What did they teach them? What did they not want them to do? Don't speak. And we don't care if you meet. You can go ahead and have your little church gathering, you know. You can have your people, and you'd have your little social fun. That'd be great. You can get all your little activities and your social programs. Go ahead. You can do that. That's great. It helps people. Helps humanity. That's awesome. But don't speak. Don't open your mouth and speak. Because ladies and gentlemen, sometime, somewhere, somehow, you're going to have to speak. Else nobody's going to hear. It's that simple. Open the mouth. And it says their answer was in verse 19, and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. In chapter 5, when they get brought in again, he says a similar thing. He says, we ought to obey God rather than men. I haven't had the privilege really to meet many of the men. I know some of you a lot better than others that taught this weekend. But the four yesterday and the one this morning. Every one of these men who spoke before you have at one point in their life had to say in their heart, I ought to obey God rather than man. I ought to obey what I see the scripture says rather than man. And for some of them, it cost them their job and their livelihood. For some of them, it cost them membership in their church. For some of them, it cost them loss of association with loved ones and family members who won't talk to them anymore. And yet each of these men that I've met are some of the most humble men I've ever met. They don't have animosity. They don't have anger. They just want to speak, and they want this. It's such a privilege for me to know you men. I think this is what the scriptures say. We don't get caught up in all that stuff. We don't get caught up in jealousy and factions and striving and arguing and envy and outbursts of anger and disputes and dissensions and envyings. We just move on. Move on. And do one thing. Preach the gospel. Open up your mouth and preach. And then they get together. Look at this. Verse 22. When they had been released, they went to their companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the Holy Spirit, who by what? The Holy Spirit, who by what? The Holy Spirit made known by the mouth of our father David, your servants. Why did the Gentiles rage and the people devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples, to do whatever your hand had purposed predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats. Where did they go in their prayers? They went to the scripture. This is a powerful thing to put in your prayers. When you're praying, remember what God has said. Bring it into your prayer life. Bring it into your life. God, you said, whatever it may be, you said that you'd be with me. And that you would never leave me and forsake me. And God, right now I feel forsaken. But you come back to the scripture. This is spiritual knowledge. And that's what they did. And they prayed. And look what they prayed. And then they said, and now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may what? Speak your word with all confidence. In verse 31, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were all filled with what? Holy Spirit. And they began to what? Speak the word with boldness. It's weird. I guess it's weird. I mean, it's an interesting thought. The scriptures came to us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the scriptures. Right? And the Spirit gives us the power and enablement to speak the scriptures. It's kind of cool how that all works. So, Vince was talking last night about having, you know, 25 things of what to do. And then he brought out his list that you know, Eduardo messed up and then he couldn't share it anymore. Remember all that? And I know. So, you know, I think your brother Jimmy... Love Jimmy. Jimmy was, he would speak to anybody, man. But you know what I used to know about Jimmy? He always wanted, I want steps. John, I want a process. He always wanted a process. He always wanted steps. So, okay, all right, here you go. Real deep. I just made this up this morning, okay? So this is really thought through. But if you want to have steps, you want to have an acronym, here we go. I just put this together. This is POOL. Since I just closed mine, thank goodness. Pool, it says on my mind. Pool. 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 Here it is. This is as deep as it gets. I don't know how. You might want to write this down. Pool. Number one, pray. Pray. You pray and ask God to work with you. You pray to ask God to show you where He's working this day. God, what can I do? Where are you at work in the world around? Show me. That's P. O, first O, observe. If you're going to pray for God to show you, then look around. Listen. Be observant. Be watchful. If you're praying for it, maybe He's going to answer your prayer. So observe. Second O, open your mouth. open your mouth and preach. And then L, which I just stuck in there because this is overall love. Because sometimes I don't always know what, you know, I'm observing, but you know what? You could always love. If you reach out every day with love and you love. So there it is. All right, this is Dale Kidd. The whole weekend, except pool. Pray, observe, open your mouth, love. That's all I got for you. There's nothing more simple. Sometime, someplace, you just open your mouth and you're just, you know, Moses, he was afraid to open his mouth. So you know what? You're in good company. And you know what God said to Moses? Who made man's mouth? Who made your mouth? All right, you think God can help you? I think so. So I just want to love God. I want to serve God. I want to love people. I want to move the word. I just want to move the word and preach the gospel. Heavenly Father, I so thank you and praise you. And thank you, God. Thank you for this time that we can get together to learn these great truths about walking by the Spirit. Lord, as we go forth, that we could take the things that we've learned and not just keep it to ourselves, but that we can reach out with the love of Christ, reach out to a world who's blinded by the God of this world, and that by the power of the spoken word, we can break through chains, we can break down walls, and God, that we can watch where you're working. And as we preach, God, show us, send us to Philippi. Send us hundreds of miles away if necessary to reach that one. Send an angel, as you did with Philip, and send us to a desert in Gaza to find that soul that's seeking. And then God, open our mouths so that we can speak. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thanks for listening. Visit us at lhim.org and subscribe to receive email updates so you won't miss out on new teachings, classes, and events. See you next week.